I'm not doing that.
All right, so let's review. This is I found this to be very challenging to define at first, okay? So let's break it down to two parts, okay? Part number one is, the Gemara says, you would think, the Gemara says that the Torah says, Bamelach, right? Okay, let's say it just said Bamelach, all right? So then what would you think if it just said Bamelach? You would think Tivoneo. And literally Tivoneo in this context means, I would need a lot of salt, right? Kamash Malan, Timlach teaches you not so much, okay? So the first thing, before we get to the three examples, what's the first thing we're going to have to answer? Why does the Gemara assume that there's a Havmin and I think you need a lot of salt? Like, where does that assumption come from? Why is the Gemara even having this discussion that you would think you need a lot of salt? Turns out you don't need a lot of salt. That's one thing to answer. And the other thing we have to answer, we'll skip the Melech Stomas for a second, and the other thing in the, what do you call it, the Mei Melech, we'll get back to that. The other thing to answer is this, the Gemara decides to pursue this Havamina, which is not a common thing, okay? It takes this Havamina of Tivoneo, which you would think it means a lot. Now, there's three ways you can learn meaning a lot. Does it mean, right, 1 second, does it mean a lot like the ratio of straw to mortar? Okay. Does it mean a lot like kibinyan, meaning I would make these rows of salt? Or does it mean, no, tam kibina, meaning you would think a lot means enough to make it taste, I guess, for a person? Kamash Malan, in all three, I don't need a lot of salt. So not only do we have to explain why the Gemara decides to even have a Havamina that you would think you need a lot of salt, we have to explain within the Havamina three possibilities of what a lot means. So, what? Let's start with the first step. I want to know, the Gemara says you would think you need a lot of salt. Turns out you don't. Okay? And work it into the language of the Torah, where the Torah says, Bamelach, and then says, Timlach. Right? In other words, meaning, if it just said Bamelach, I would think, lots of salt. Timlach qualifies it. Because if you were correct, I'll tell you why you're incorrect. Then the Torah should have told you what? It should have told you a shear. The Torah. Right. No. What I'm saying is that if you're correct, the Gemara should have said you would think you need a shear of melach. But the Gemara says either it's a lot or. But even the Maskana says a little. What's a little? A little is what? You want to look at it as an independent substance. That's beautiful. If that were true, I would argue that the Torah would mandate a required amount. We don't want you to say a lot or a little. We want you to say an isarum or whatever, a kezias, whatever it might be. An amount. That's the part you need to appreciate. Korbanos demand precision. Everything about the process of korban is precise. If you're off by one thing, you're dead. Here, we know what the Gemara is saying? You're thinking a lot of salt, a little bit. But you're on the right track. I don't think it's an independent thingy. Yeah. That's something that that resonates, right? There's something about, I don't want to skip this step, but there's something about Timlach, right, that's telling you that salt, the act of salting itself, there's no idea of shear that could be attached to it, right? Salting is not something that has shear to it. It's an action, right? Okay. No, see, Darius is making a good point. You see, I think, right? It could be. Right? I think what Darius is trying to say is like this. He's trying to say that you see, in other words, everyone agrees there's no idea of shear that applies to salt. That we can all agree on. Why? Because in general, when it comes to melicha, you're looking for an effect. There's no I can't say any saron of salt, let's say on meat, right? Why? Because it's not the amount of salt, it's that does it produce the effect of now removing the blood. So it's by definition not subject to shear. Okay, that being the case, so you would think, why would you think you need a substantial amount in the havamina, right? It's an ingredient, right? Meaning when you switch to the mincha, what you would think is, it can't be a symbolic placement of salt. That's what you would think. You would think, well, what's happening here, right, is not what's happening by meat korban, right? So therefore, you know what I would think? The melicha I require here is like you like that kind of stuff, like a symbolic salting, right? So when the Gemara means substantial, it means whatever the effect would be that you normally would produce, that's the amount of salt you got to put on, okay? Or to put it in a more categorical sense, they're borrowing from the phenomenon of traditional korban to mincha, okay? But what does Timlach teach you? You see, it's not that you're adding salt, but rather, what are you doing? You're doing an act of salting. You're right. That's the result. The result has to be interaction. But what I'm saying is that, let's go back to what the mice, but fit that into the world of Timlach. I'm saying Timlach doesn't mean, I'm not taking the ingredient of salt and adding it to the, what do you call it, to the mincha, right? I'm doing an action of salting, okay? If you do an action of salting, so now let's go back to the case of, let's go back to the case of kalev and french fries, right? What does salting mean? Salting means, I know they didn't use a salt shaker, but I'm saying the concept is, I take my salt shaker, and what do? I salt my french fries. If I ask, I mean, think about that. When you ask them to, put like salt my french fries, what that means is take your salt shaker, and you put
some,
okay, fine. Right. Fine. But I'm saying, what are you doing? Whereas when you add salt, you're not adding the ingredient of salt to your french fries. You're salting it, right? So salting, you're right, but that's not how you relate to it. In other words, the Havin is saying, look at it. This is an abstract differentiation. Abstract. You can look at it. If you look at it as adding an ingredient, that means you're taking a large amount and adding it to something else. Like, give me a chunk of X. But if I tell you the action is one of salting, Timlach is telling you, it's an action of salting. That's not a lot. That's not a large amount. What about the salt water issue? So the Gemara says you would think that you could use salt water, right? Right. It has salt in it. Kamash Malan, no. Bamelach, meaning I must use salt. Okay. So again, Timlach, right? I'm salting. I'm doing the act of salting with salt water. Kamash Malan, I require salt itself. So what's that having in Maskana? What? Okay, good. Everyone's saying the same thing. Good. Okay, in other words, the Havin is going to say, if I'm looking to make this thing salty, right, does Mei Melach work? Of course. The mechanism, well, who cares about the mechanism? As long as I get the result of salting. And I can even argue I'm salting too. I can make that argument. I can take what Yonah's saying. But fine.
Right.
What was that, guys? So what does the Maskana mean? What is the Maskana telling us? But when you say salt, which...
What if you dump the korban in
salt
water in
the hamam? No, because I would say that there's still. It's true, but I don't know. I got to think about that. If you dumped it in, I don't know. But whatever. But what's the maskana? What's the maskana telling us though? What's the melach teach you? So what do you say? Obviously, it's a substance idea. What it's saying is that the salt status, right? There's the melech itself acquires the same melechic status as it's used for traditional melicha, right? Meaning, in other words, that which produces the result of drawing out blood, that substance is the one I must use in the mincha. See, that's the point. From the perspective of the mincha, right? This mei melech is a different substance because that's not what is used for melicha. There's a melicha is a halachic phenomenon. Right, that's why the Gemara can then say Melech Domus. They can start giving you what type of salt. Okay. But now, okay, let's skip the Melech Domus for a second. Let's take up these three Havminas to flesh out this idea of salting. Very difficult. Okay. So again, what does the Gemara say? Possibility number one, it's the old straw to mortar ratio. Lots of straw and mortar, right? Lots of salt. Number two, shuros, right? Kabinyan. Number three, tam kamina. What are these possibilities? I asked the question before. Why is the Gemara going back and challenging this Havamina? Why? It's a crazy thing. It's a Havamina. We reject Tivonehu. It's not even true, so to speak, I guess, right? It's not even valid, right? Okay. So what the Gemara is struggling with is a very simple struggle. The Gemara is saying like this. The Havamina is telling me that I need to use a lot. But the Gemara is not satisfied walking away thinking there's no idea of shear. Here's the tricky part. What the Gemara wants to do is the Gemara agrees there can't be a isaron shear of salt, right? But there's a shear of a lot. When do I know there's a lot? It's not subjective. No, it's not subjective. It's not. But there's a way I can say I now have a lot of salt. You understand that difference? There's a difference between saying I'm looking for a quantity shear, like how much salt do I need? A cup, right? That's not what's going on here. The Gemara says tivoneu. But that's kind of obscure. You're saying a lot. We can't let this pass by without understanding what the shear of a lot is. Because there's three ways you can understand what a lot means. You understand? That's that. And if you go down that road, then all three possibilities will naturally emerge. But it's trying to identify what the shear of a lot is. So you can't come up with a number. That's the mistake. It's not a number. Okay. So the first way of learning is it's if you get the there's again if you frame the question this way, which I definitely think is the right way to frame the question, the Gemara is trying to determine what's the shear of a lot. Let's take the first possibility. First possibility is saying, I'm gonna reverse what Granick was saying. You see, what is he using the Tevin to teach analogy for? So all along Granick kept using this one word about salt over and over again. garnish. Okay, meaning when is it a lot? When I can actually say it's part of that which I'm adding it to. You see, if I salt Kali's fries, I know Asher that technically it's part of the fries. But if you think about it, how do you relate to it? A garnish means I'm adding it to the fries. I have French fries with salt on top, right? So a lot, right, a lot means the point where it's no longer viewed as a garnish, okay? So this idea of tevin, I looked it up online. The idea of the ratio of tevin, it's like the straw is added into the point where it's not considered added to the teeth, but it's actually a component of it. That's what we look at a lot. What we look at a lot is that it's now a part of it. The second way to say it's a lot is where I could say it's not its relationship to the korban, but like what Darius was saying, right? Okay. Right. Yeah, exactly. Notice it's nicker as an independent substance, right? I see this substance. That's why he uses shuros. He uses the rose to say I can now say that there's salt there. Okay. But the third one, and that's why the Gemara switches the first two, what they share in common is they're looking at it as they're looking salt in a non-culinary way. The third possibility says, no. What is the shear of a lot of salt? If I view it through the culinary realm, it's when I can taste it. And it's the best way to know if I have a lot of salt in there. The point that I can taste the salt tells you what? There's a lot of salt. It's like, think about it. When you have chicken soup, like in my house, my little one, I'm sure she has high blood pressure already. She takes like a salt shake and she puts tons of salt in there, right? To the point where you could definitely taste the salt, meaning the Tom Kabina means what's a lot in the culinary sense is when a person can say the effect of this thing is now it's salty, okay? Two guys are looking at salt as a substance, right? The third guy's looking at it from the culinary standpoint. But they're all trying to find out one question. What's the shear of a lot?
So there's a double split.
But I can argue, if Kalev asked me to salt his fries and I start salting it, at a certain point, without you tasting it, you know what you would say? That's going to be very salty. That's true. Okay, then the Gemara says, Melech's Domus, right? So you have a funny Gemara here, where the Gemara says, what kind of salt you have to use? The kind of salt that is always available, right? That's a good question, okay? But then the Gemara says, but if you didn't have all that, well, if you didn't have that, right, so then you could use the salt that a man has to dig for, which doesn't seem to be around as often, okay? So the Grizz points out, if you didn't follow the Grizz was trying to say, not a Svara, but the Grizz says, he says, Lo Sashvis Melach, Have Melach She'ino Shoveses, fine. V'tzarchi and Lamalo Hevia Rambam, Din Zed, L'chadchila Tzarch L'Havi Melach's Domus. Why doesn't the Rambam doesn't distinguish salts? He doesn't say lechatchila should bring melech's domus. So he says v'sarach lomar the Rambam sover demadik tani kan din lechatchila tzarach lahavi melech's domus. Eino din b'mitzvah melicha. So it's not that the lechatchila win within the mitzvah melicha must bring melech's domus. Rather, dealing a mitzvah melicha kulan shavin salt to salt. Ela had meaning salt to salt. Ela had din kan hu k'mosheish din debichol davar shemevi tzarach lahavi min a muvchar. So what he's saying is that what's the nifty word game the Grizz is playing here? He's saying the Rambam's reading the Gemara to mean it's not a kiyum, it's a better salt, right? Salt is salt. Rather, there's a certain idea of when I do things in the Mikdash, I always bring from the best. Okay. Now, of course, now what makes Melech's Domus the best? Why is Melech's Domus Melech Menem of Kor? Why do I care that it's what? What do you mean? The question, I don't really have a good answer for this. But the question is because this is speculative. This is philosophy, right? The question is. What is it about Tumid? The Grizz is reframing this in an issue of saying Misa Min Mokhar, which means there's some value of Tumidness, right? Being Tumid, that is good. That makes it better. But it has nothing to do with salt. That's to do with Tumid, right? I was thinking like Ner Tumid or Eish Tumid. Like this is the idea of continuity, and you could say that. I mean, but that now what? Right. Little background. Everyone here familiar with the Isser of Me'ilah? Okay? Me'ilah means what? Stealing from God. How do you steal from God? Steal from the Mikdash. Okay. So you have this interesting case here, okay? Yona, you're reading today, right? Tanur Banan? Tanur Banan. Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. Chaf Aleph. Amud Beis. Yes, Amud Beis. Right at the top. Tanur Banan. Umalimbo. Right, what does that mean? So if Dov salts his korban, right, and Granite comes along and steals the salt from the aver of the korban, right, you put salt on there, right? I mean, again, let's just talk it out, right? Which would therefore imply the salt is now holy or sanctified. Granik takes it. He's over the Isser Me'ilah. Okay? But what's the other case? Shal Gabi Akevesh. The Shiver, no, Shiver Rosh Hashem is Be'ach, a Molimba. That's important. Now, let's understand what happened here. We're not talking about pre-salting. We're saying Dov takes his thing of salt, salts the Korban, and inevitably, what's going to happen? What's going to have to happen? Some of it spills onto the Kevesh. You're going to have some of the salt pouring onto the ramp. So the salt, so to speak, went from the Aver, okay, onto the ramp. That meal doesn't apply to. You understand? Okay. So where it says, Amar of Matzna, it applies to the, if you took it from the Aver itself. Yeah, yeah. Hefker. Go on. The Amar of Matzna. The Hikraftem. Melach. Pasuk from Yechezkel, right? So what does that mean? That's true. Well, they have to get the end part. So what does it mean? They put melach on it, and only when the melach's on it, they now bring it to as a korban. Meaning when the melach is on the korban, it's now considered part of the korban itself. It's hektish. Okay. Seems like a very kind of a straightforward issue. It certainly is not. Very bizarre. If you look at that Mishnah I gave you guys, let's take a look at this real quickly. Look at the Mishnah in Shkalim. Okay? See that? Yonah. So look at Perek Zion, Mishnah Vav first, okay? Amar Rabbi Shimon. Beis Din. There were seven things that Sanhedrin were misakin about Mikdash. This is what's amazing. There's seven things that Sanhedrin came along and are misakin about Mikdash. One of them being in Mishnah Zion. Hold on. Alamelach. The Mishnah Zion. Ne'osim bahen. What does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? Come on. Melach and Eitzim, that the Kohanim, what does Ne'osim bahen mean? Ne'otim. What does the word Ne'osim mean? No. Come on, what's the root of that? Ne'otim. Hana'a.
Benefit.
Okay, benefit. Yes, I know. Benefit, okay? All right, so you have this takana by Chazal that comes along and says that they're allowed to benefit from the melach, which is very odd, okay?